Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan. Are you just a complete deadbeat when you don't pay your bills, or are you fighting for justice by not paying your bills? That's actually the latest dumb social justice warrior thing that's happening. I'll explain it to you here in just a second. But you know what? At this point, also, call me about anything. You got something on your mind? We'll kind of do a free-for-all open line. If it's on your mind, let's talk about it. Let's start off with Dennis. Hey, Dennis, you're on the air. What do you think?
Yes, Mike. I had a comment about the ex-Governor Eric Greitens.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, he won the election here in Missouri to be governor, and he had some policies that he was implementing, and quite a few people seem to disagree with him, and I think that it was a lack of justice as far as removing him. There were photos, there were revealing photos that were found on him.
And, well, wait a minute, Dennis. Dennis, there were no photos found. There were accusations,
and none of them ever surfaced.
Right.
So what they did was they charged him with some kind of a campaign or contributions to his
Let me explain, Dennis. Hang and hold your thought. Well, let me explain what that is, because we've been hearing that in the news, and people are saying it's a campaign reporting violation, and that's true. So what happened was there was some polling done, and that the results of that polling were given to his campaign for their use, and that's the in-kind donation. So what they ruled is you should have reported the value of that polling as part of your campaign, what you received. So that's what it was. And, he's got to pay a fine on that. But, yeah, that's what they actually levied the fine for. So go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, the way I see it is kind of complicated, just like you do your income taxes. If you did them yourself, if you have someone else do them, a CPA, yes, sure, you know, they do the complications, and that's what you're paying them for. So anyway, he might have violated rules of statutes of this state. He went ahead and resigned. So I really, I wouldn't back him unless he runs election again, and then I would, because
okay.
I really think that he really did. He erred some, but he probably didn't err very much. I think that he was railroaded.
Yeah, that's what's interesting in the debate. I was looking at kind of the online groups that are trying to bring him back, and some of the people in those groups, they just don't know what they're talking about. One person posted a little bit ago saying the current governor needs to resign and reinstate Eric Greitens. Well, it doesn't work like that. Eric Greitens has already resigned. So the interesting thing is, will Eric Greitens run again? I have no idea. I don't personally know him. He has not said, but I can almost guarantee you that the fact that this is in the headlines and people like me are talking about this to people like you on the radio, that this, I do feel, has been kind of orchestrated. I don't believe this is a grassroots thing, but what happened is the Ethics Commission says we find no wrongdoing. And even the reporting thing that you just said, Dennis, about, you know, if your tax preparer makes a mistake, well, somebody may have made a mistake. Well, that's even what they said. They said that there's no evidence that Greitens personally knew about the violation. But the fact of the matter is that the candidate is where the buck stops. And if there is a violation, that's who's responsible. And that was acknowledged. And okay, I don't even think Greitens disagrees with that. As far as I know, I think they just said, hey, we're happy to settle this thing. We're going to pay it. Everybody gets fined for campaign reporting mistakes all the time. I mean, you know, I ran for office once. I got fined because I was late once.
Okay. Well, and then what was the consequence? You know, the consequence, it seemed like, was he resigned. And then if you're up on politics and that, the election came up subsequent to all that, and the right to work issue, mm-hmm. like it was up front, and it went everywhere, and it seemed like to me that everybody was against right to work all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, that's it, because Eric Greitens was very pro right to work. That went on to the ballot, and voters knocked that down pretty hard. That one wasn't even close at the ballot.
Right.
I personally think right to work is a good policy, but the voters spoke on that. I don't think you're going to see that question, at least in Missouri. I don't think you're going to see that question on the ballot again for another 8 years at least.
You're right, and it's the way that they publicized it. They made the majority of the population to agree with just what you just said.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Dennis, appreciate the call. I'm going to go on to some other calls here. Thank you so much for calling Overnight America. Who is next here? What's the name we've got up here? Who is it?
Mike.
We got Mike. Okay, Mike, you are on Overnight America. Thanks for calling in.
How you doing? I heard you talk about, are you a deadbeat and all that?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. And I want to be respectful to you, and I can disagree respectfully and honest
sure.
both ways. Now, I have a very good work ethic. I'm 69 years old. You know how Donald Trump, they say the economy's booming? But what they don't tell you is booming for the middle class. It's not booming for me because I work in a restaurant. And a lot of rest of my friend works in a restaurant. It ain't booming for us because no matter who was in as a president, it was the same for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it never got no better. And I do try to pay my bills. And since I don't make enough of money, I had to juggle my money. You know what I mean? I had to,
absolutely.
I don't make enough. Or I had to kind of rob Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
And here's why I disagree with your caller. No disrespect.
Disagreement is not disrespect inherently. So I appreciate you saying that. But you can disagree.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with disrespect, but I'm glad you're conscious of it. I wish we had more of that in society. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, as I was say, I'm against the right to work. You want me to tell you why? Not all businesses, to be fair, because a lot of right work, I'm not saying all businesses, you got to be fair. There's good businesses out there,
mm-hmm.
and they make money, and they put a lot of money in, and that's fine. Make a profit, that's fine. But on the other side of the coin, what they don't tell you, a lot of these businesses want to get by and pay you as cheap as they can get by with, regardless how work you get, how good you work, how much money you make. I think that's totally wrong. So I think the right to work is bad. You got to have some protection. Now, if you're lazy and you're milking the clock and you're not doing your work and sitting around, then I can see the employer getting rid of you. But what about the people with the good work ethic who work their butts off? Not in every case. They don't want to pay you nothing. They want to pay you as cheap as they can get. Like they try and get the minimum wage to $15 an hour. What is it now? It's so low, you can't even hardly pay your bills because when you pay your apartment, the rent goes up every year. So you start out with $400. Next year, they do nothing to it. It's $600, $616, $631, and you still ain't making a lot of money. How are you going to pay your bills? So I'm against the right to work because I think a lot of businesses are greedy, not all of them, but I think it hurts a lot of good workers. Go ahead. What you think?
Okay. Well, a couple of things. First of all, in the restaurant industry, restaurant industry is struggling right now because across the board, because I think people's taste have changed. We just don't go out to restaurants as much as we used to. So
okay.
I think that's just, I think that the food industry and the restaurant industry are trying to figure out, we want these little boutique like specialty things and instead of, you know, an Applebee's or a Buffalo Wild Wings and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's one where the market is. Now, regarding right to work, again, I don't think that's going to be on the ballot anytime soon in Missouri. And here's the thing is that when you're a good worker, I've had so many CEOs and managers of businesses, they say, Mike, they said, if we can just find somebody who can show up on time, sober and work hard, you know, we'll do whatever we can to keep them. And those people tend to really keep their jobs. The reality, though, is, and here's where I think we're going to disagree. And and I'm open to other people saying who's right, you or me on that. When it comes to employment, what people say is a lot of the conversation has been, okay, I need to get paid this much because this is how much my bills are. And I think that's kind of the prevailing argument that we've had. Economically speaking, what nobody's talking about is what's the actual value of the labor for the good or the service that's being provided. The value of that labor isn't always the same thing as what a worker actually needs. And so if you make the demand for the salary or the hourly wage higher than what the value of the labor is, then what happens is people lose their jobs. And that's just an economic, that's just how the numbers crunch. It's kind of cruel, but that's the way the economics do, because the businesses aren't going to pay more than the value of the labor if they can help it.
Yeah, can I tell you something? Not to talk real cruel, without mentioning the restaurant's name. I work for a restaurant 20-some years.
Wow.
I started $7 an hour. I worked up to $10.50 an hour. I was a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
I got promoted to maintenance supervisor. I got promoted to coordinator manager. Now, remember, I worked there 20 years. As of 6 in the morning, I open up, I set the alarm up, never stole no money, and it's a good work. I got compliments how clean the place was on Facebook. Now, I'm not going to mention Russian names.
Sure.
But after 20 years, I worked there, and they said I was a real good worker in everything, and I'm very organized. And after 20 years, I clocked out. I didn't quit. They lied on me and said I quit, and I lost my job after 20 years.
Mm.
And I was mad. I was cussing, and I wasn't thrown through windshield. My church, I had to forgive. I said, KHCN. They said, Minister Mike, you're helping people. I'm real minister. I said, yeah, I even managed to get the devil in them. But that's where a company did me wrong, and I was very valuable. They stabbed me in the back, and I work at a different restaurant, making less money trying to pay my bills for them doing me dirty.
Yeah,
I got to forgive, though.
Yeah, I'm absolutely, and Mike, I got to pause for a break. Really appreciate the call. Best of luck to you. The thing is that as much of a fan of capitalism as I am, and I am a capitalist, unapologetically a capitalist, I am not going to argue that every business person out there is ethical or nice or that they do the right thing. But I will argue that if they keep doing the wrong thing, the market's going to punish them a lot worse than government actually will, because nobody is going to work for them. And then eventually nobody's going to want to buy from them. That's just my personal opinion. All right. He mentioned my comments on paying your bills. Not talking about hardworking guys like him. I'm talking about people who just don't think it's just. I know it sounds weird, but that's only because it is. I'll explain just ahead here on Overnight America on KMOX.
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio.
Okay, we had Mike call in just a minute ago, and he talked about minimum wage and businesses not paying enough. One of the presidential candidates, oh, man, Mike would really love what this guy has to say. I just pulled it up. I'll tell you what that is. My name is Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker. A couple things here on the agenda. By the way, if you want to call and talk about anything, I mean anything, just don't get me thrown off the air. Kind of a free-for-all here. We're just opening up the phone lines. 800-925-1120, or if you're in the St. Louis area, 314-436-7900, and you could text me at that 314 number as well. I was getting ready to talk about this push to have people just defiantly say, no, I'm not paying back this debt. I'm going on a debt strike. That'll teach you. All right, I'll tell you why they're arguing that. I think immoral. I think it's unethical. We're not talking about hardworking guys like, you know, we had Mike calling. He says, I've worked hard for all these years. Sometimes the bills just outlast the paycheck. Believe me, I understand it. Been there multiple times. That's not what these people are doing. They're saying that the debt is unjust, that they shouldn't have to pay it because they are entitled to not have the debt. And I think it's nonsense. By the way, Tom Steyer, he's a billionaire who's not going to win the Democratic nomination for president. I'm looking at a couple of news stories, looking at MRC TV. Basically, I love Brittany Hughes wrote this. Tom Steyer sees Elizabeth Warren's free college and Bernie Sanders' free health care and raises you a $22 an hour minimum wage. So Tom Steyer's down in South Carolina, and he's campaigning for his also-ran status. So during his campaign in South Carolina, he announced that if he's president, once he's elected, that he is going to up the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, to $22 an hour. So basically, he's talking about tripling the minimum wage. What would that do? Well, it would mean there would be an awful lot of people who either would never get hired or would lose their jobs. I'm not one of those who believes that automation is a result of an increased minimum wage. But certainly businesses, a lot of business could not afford that. So Tom Steyer, he's a billionaire, but for some reason he doesn't understand basic economics. So there you go. If you think that we should have a $22 an hour minimum wage, Tom Steyer's your guy, but please call me and tell me why. Whatever else is on your mind, let's talk about that too. Get it off your chest before we get into the weekend. I mean, I'm serious. You want to talk about just something that bugs you? Something we've talked about here, something we haven't talked about here? You want to talk about Eric Greitens? Would you vote the guy? Hey, let me know. Okay, so the Debt Collective Community, that's the name of this new activist group, and what they are trying to do is get, it looks like young people, but also people of a bunch of different ages, to stop paying their bills when it comes to debt. And to them, this is a social justice thing. I'm not making this up. I just printed off a couple of pages from their website here. These are their words. The debt collective has been calling for deep structural change. This includes a jubilee for all, $1.6 trillion of existing student debt, as well as making public colleges and universities completely free for everyone to attend. How are you paying for that? This is what drives people who understand basic economics and basic math. There is no such thing as free. Nothing. Somebody's paying for it. So what they're really getting some attention for, and if you want to see the story, go to American Viewpoints on Facebook, and I've got the story linked there. You can read it. The Student Debt Collective, because they're broken up into little categories, this is for anyone who is in debt after attending a public nonprofit college. So a state college, basically, if you decided that you wanted to go to, you know, Harvard or Baylor or Duke, yeah, you're kind of on your own. But what they're arguing is that it's unjust and it's unfair that they have so much student loan debt. It's crushing them. They're entitled to the education, so they shouldn't have to pay it back. They understood the terms when they signed up. They agreed to pay the loan back. They agreed to take somebody else's money, pay for what they were going to get, which was hopefully going to allow them to have a more successful career. And now they say, this isn't fair that you've charged me so much. The school system is charging too much money. That's true. Schools are part of the problem. Universities are part of the problem. So don't take the deal. But look at some of these others. They also have a collective for for-profit colleges. And again, their words, this collective is for anyone who is in debt after attending a for-profit college like DeVry, ITT, University of Phoenix, Strayer, etc. So even if you chose to go to a private college, they don't think you should have to pay back that debt. And by the way, they've got steps on their website to, like, here's how you start challenging your debt. Some other ones. Medical Debt Collective. Their words, it's wrong that 62% of personal bankruptcies in the U.S. are linked to medical debt. I don't know what the actual percentage is, but that sounds fairly close. It is wrong that millions do not have access to health care. Well, we're making it more expensive and less accessible when we get the government more involved in it. They go on to say, we're working together to plan actions to develop debt resistance campaigns and to launch coordinated strikes toward the goal of winning quality. Debt resistance campaigns. Do you know what happens when you don't pay the debt that you owe to the hospital or to whoever footed the bill? It means that they don't provide the services or the goods to somebody else at some point. Housing debt collective. They say anybody who went into debt for a place to live, because apparently you're entitled to a place to live. Another one, for anyone who's in debt to a local court system or probation company. I will actually say some of the court fines and fees, though, I'm actually very open-minded on that, because there are some, as we've seen here in the St. Louis area, that absolutely are, you know, taxation by citation. So that one I'd be willing to talk about. How about this? Auto Loans Collective. For anybody who went into debt to buy or lease a car, are you freaking kidding me? That there's some social justice warriory campaign that you're going to go on a debt strike because you don't want to pay your car loan? There's actually a couple more here. We'll talk about that. This is the mindset that is so destructive. But listen, if you think that we need to talk about this debt crisis, give me a call. You get your chance to say it. Yeah, I'm respectful. Let's have an exchange of ideas. 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson. This is KMOX's Overnight America. I'm in for Ryan Recker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
This is one of those topics that we see pop up from time to time. We'll get to this in just a few minutes. But another state, is basically saying we're going to overrule our own people in order to get a popular vote for the presidential election. Yeah, so they're changing their laws on how they set out the delegate votes in the presidential election. I'll explain. I think it's a terrible idea, but I understand why people like it. By the way, my name is Mike Ferguson. I'm in for Ryan Recker tonight. The number here, 800-925-1120, or if you prefer, 314-436-7900. You can talk about anything you want. You know, it's the last show of the week. Yeah, just kind of get it out of your mind, get it off your chest. All right, let's go to Utah. Tyson's calling from Utah. Hey, Tyson, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hey, what's happening, Mike?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. Actually, I'm having a lot of fun. I like doing this show. This is a great time, especially when we can just do whatever the heck we want. You know why? Because the boss is asleep.
That's awesome. When I was a teenager, my coworker's name was Mike Ferguson. That guy was awesome.
Oh, no kidding. And did you grow up in Utah? Because I didn't there. If you were from like Illinois or Missouri, then we may have crossed paths.
I did not. I grew up in Iowa.
Ah, okay. Well, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, you were talking about right to work earlier and how it costs jobs. But I'm looking at unemployment numbers from the Labor Bureau and statistics, and it doesn't match what you're saying.
Well, minimum wage costs jobs. No, I said well, I think right to work is good policy. But raising the minimum wage, especially if it's a drastic one, that actually does cost jobs. Right to work, to me, it's, you know, that's one of the comparisons that people make. Because you can look at, for instance, Tennessee, which is a right to work state, and they're outperforming, you know, a lot of the states. Missouri is not a right to work state, and we're adding union jobs like crazy, manufacturing jobs like crazy. But to me, one of the things about right to work is that it's more worker friendly. If you're right to work. Now, believe me, my state is not going to become a right to work state anytime soon. Maybe never. It's just, you know, the voters spoke really hard on that. But I am just of the personal belief that if an employer and employee want to come to an agreement, that the employer and the employee should not be forced to funnel that through a union if they don't want to. And if the union is able to offer a value for that, I'm not saying don't join a union, but I'm saying is they shouldn't get carte blanche to say, hey, you got to pay us a tribute. Doesn't matter whether you like us or not. People should be free to leave the union and keep their job.
Yeah, I would disagree with that as well, because mm-hmm. there's always power in numbers. That's why companies get together and form lobbying groups.
That's true.
It's why union jobs make more money than non-union jobs.
That actually, I will totally agree with you. That is why union jobs generally pay they do pay more, at least we're talking about in a lot of sectors, so we're not talking about IT and stuff like that. They do make more. They may not, and the unseen part of that is, would there be more people working if they were paying more of a market wage? And we just don't know the answer to that.
Well, I think we can look at it historically. You just pointed out how we're adding a whole bunch of jobs as a right-to-work state. So the theory that right to work is going to bring us greater economic prosperity doesn't seem to be holding any water.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't said that tonight. Again, I think it is a better policy. I think it is more attractive to employers who are looking to move or to build an expansion, for the simple reason that they wouldn't have to pay as much in their wages. I mean, that's pretty common sense, but I mean, I would think, but as far as, you know, when right to work failed in Missouri, I didn't think for a minute there that our manufacturing sector was going to crash. A lot of things affect that, more than that, but right to work does make it. I mean, that's why Tennessee attracted all of those auto manufacturing jobs down there, is because they became a right to work state and also very low taxes as well.
Right. As you mentioned, it then benefits the employer. Not the employee. I'm more pro employee than employer.
Well, but does it? But is it necessarily a versus? I mean, you know, those jobs in Tennessee, if they weren't right to work, would all those jobs be there? So you look at the scene, and you look at the guy or the gal in the union who's making more money than somebody in another manufacturing job because their union. It's not even conceding. I just acknowledge that's absolutely true in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. But what we don't know is, you know, you've got 1,000 people working here, but if you were allowed to pay a market rate as opposed to the union rate, would there be 1,200 or 1,300 people working instead of 1,000? And that's that unseen hand of it. And that's the part that you can't measure because the jobs aren't there. Would they be there? I don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Absolutely, they would be there. If there's money to be made, there's going to be jobs there. But it also goes to your point about minimum wage costing jobs. Minimum wage has been around for 80 years. It's been raised dozens and dozens of times, either by the federal government or local municipalities. And you cannot point to a time where raising the minimum wage caused massive unemployment or massive price gains. and you've got 80 years worth of data to do it. It's not
well, though, no, you absolutely can show increases in prices, that's for sure. But again, how many people aren't getting hired? But and like, for instance, with Tom Steyer saying, hey, I'm going to up the ante, let's make minimum wage $22 an hour. Well, if raising the minimum wage cures poverty, let's just make it $100 an hour. Let's just minimum wage our way out of it. There has to be a time when you look at the market and say, this is what the value of this labor is. And you can try to negotiate more than that. And I guess if I could talk, you know, my employer into paying me more than I'm worth, good for me. But the fact of the matter is that when you increase the cost of labor, other costs go up. You just can't deny it.
Well, I can, because I do business with a company that is hit with the tariffs from China.
Oh, and
haven't raised their prices while other companies have, so they're gaining more business by not raising their prices.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the tariffs either. I mean, I'm going to acknowledge the president's getting his wins on the tariffs, and China's backing down in some areas, but overall, eventually all of those costs get passed on to the consumer. They all get passed on to the consumer. That's just an economic reality.
Well, I just gave you an example where it didn't.
Well, then who's paying the extra money? I mean, it's coming from somewhere.
Well, they're making a smaller profit margin, but they're making more money because they're getting more business in volume.
Well, yeah, if you get more volume, you can take less if you're getting more in volume. But the reality is that when regulations increase the cost of something, we buy less of it. So if you can increase the volume, well, great. You know, I want people to make as much money as they can. That's one of the things that people in my position get accused of being anti-worker. We're not. I want more people to work. I'm just a believer that more people are going to maximize their potential under a free market as opposed to a centrally planned system. And that's where we disagree.
Well, under your philosophy, then, why don't we all just make a dollar an hour? Then prices will all go down, right?
Well, prices would go down. I mean, they would go down. You know, but I'm saying is that the value is more than a dollar. That's why. Because the reason we don't just make a dollar is because the value of what we do in a free market is worth more than that.
Is it, or is it because that's what the minimum wage is?
It's because of the value.
A dollar an hour if they could get away with it?
No. I would say is they want to pay what the market value is because there is an incentive in keeping the best workers. You've got an incentive to pay them what they're worth. If you don't pay that, you lose them. That's the market incentive. Whoever will pay them, that's the incentive for paying them. Right now, with a 3-point whatever it is unemployment rate, you've got employers bidding for workers right now. This is one of the best times to be a worker because if you show up, you're skilled, you know, you're ready to work, you're probably going to have somebody pay you more than they would have paid you, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What's your solution when prices go up and wages don't?
What's my solution?
Yeah.
You respond to the market. You have to buy less stuff. I mean, the thing is that, you know, the solution, I mean, that's one of the things we hear a lot is, this is going bad for somebody. What's your solution to fix it? Markets go up and down. People win and people lose. That's part of the market. Believe me, I've been on the losing end many times. My solution sometimes is you've got to change your skills or your business, or you've got to find another way to make yourself valuable. It's not a popular way to say it, but the reality is that I don't want to sit there and go, I'm not making the money I should. Government, somebody forced somebody to pay me a lot more money, when the reality is I need to alter and make myself more valuable.
But there's only so many of those valuable jobs to go around.
Why? I mean, entrepreneurs invent stuff all the time. I mean, the fastest growing jobs we have right now didn't exist a generation ago. We didn't even know how to plan for them. That's how fast our economy is changing. Tyson, grab a last word on this. I got to take a break. Then we go to the phones, but I'll let you go ahead and get the last word in on it.
Oh, the economy is definitely changing. All the manufacturing jobs were replaced. We were told we were changing from a manufacturing economy to a service economy. So the manufacturing jobs went to the retail and fast food, and they ain't paying the same wages. And not everybody's intelligent enough to be a manager. And there aren't enough manager jobs, even if everybody was.
Well, that's true. So is it my responsibility to pay them more than the market values their worth because they don't have the skills or they won't find it? I mean, is it my job to say, well, we're going to base your pay on what you need as opposed to what you're worth?
Well, who sets what they're worth? I guess that's the question.
Right. Well, then that's the thing.
What anything is worth, whatever. I mean,
yeah, and
they
that's
make up whatever they want.
Well, that's not making up. I mean, it's just that's the way economies roll and move. And I know I'm behind on the break. Tyson, love the debate, man. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate you listening. We disagree, but we both got some pretty well-reasoned arguments on that. So appreciate that. All right. So we'll go back to the phone lines here. Got to pause for just a second. So, Ken, if you want to hang on, you are up next. This is Overnight America. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Is that a little Stevie Ray Vaughan? Loves me some Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know. Sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. Hoo boy. Let's say, talk about anything you want, man. This has been fun. And by the way, I know that I don't mean to give away too much of a secret in radio. It's an ego-driven business. I actually enjoy talking to people who disagree with me. We've had like three or four just energetic but respectful and just fun conversations where we just disagree. That's what shows like this are all about. 800-925-1120. Doesn't matter what's on your mind. You want to talk about Eric Greitens? We can talk about Eric Greitens. You want to talk about right to work? We can talk about that. You want to talk about economic stuff? You want to talk about this law in Utah that they're trying to get passed that would decriminalize, I don't want to say legalize, but decriminalize polygamy or something else that not even on our radar yet. You know what? Let's do it. Give me a call. All right. Who we got here? We got Ken up next. Hey, Ken, you're on the air. What do you think?
Yeah, Mike. First of all, enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I was with the Department of Labor, the Wage and Hour Division, for 32 years, and we enforced the minimum wage and the overtime. And I've been retired for years.
Yeah.
So got to keep that in mind. And also that I'm biased, obviously, on this minimum wage question. And, you know, we always heard that it was going to cost jobs, and we never saw it.
In
32 years, never saw it. We got 200 phone calls a day. Now, these are people that are upset. They got complaints about work, about overtime, about minimum wage. We never had one, to my knowledge, that said, hey, you know, that minimum wage, that cost me my job. Or the guy said he wasn't going to hire me because we never heard that.
Yeah, okay, so let me...
I cannot tell you how many employers that where we were actually investigating, somebody had filed a complaint against them, and they would say, if that minimum wage goes up, I'm out of business. Now, how many times in my 32 years do you think that happened?
I'm going to push back on this, Ken. I mean, I'm not going to question your personal experiences there. I was looking this up because we had a couple calls on this. The most recent example we can look at is Seattle that decided they wanted to raise a minimum wage. The most recent study from the National Bureau of Economic Research found that on average, employees had their hours cut to the tune where they were losing some money, and the increase in minimum wage did not recoup that. So what happened is, and this is been multiple, even the state of California has acknowledged this, even the city of Seattle has acknowledged this, that the response was not what they thought. Businesses cut hours. Some laid people off, but generally what happened was that you can increase the cost of labor, but there's still a limit to what the business could afford for labor. So you want to increase the minimum wage. Whoever keeps their job is going to come out ahead.
Mike, think about what you're saying here.
Yeah.
What you're saying is out in Seattle that they're having their hours cut. Now, who's going to make up those hours? I mean, I'm assuming that the restaurant's having whatever we're talking about, is having the same number of customers. Who's going to make up those hours? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they make up. Maybe
what happens with restaurants when they start cutting staff? Then service goes down. They lose customers. Mm-hmm. They cut wages again, and it's just a vicious cycle. You know, there's a lot of discussion on minimum wage, whether it's good or it's bad, and I wanted you to hear my perspective on it. But here's a question.
And Ken, I got to let you. I've got about a minute and a half before I have to hit the news, so I'll let you go and wrap up there. But just I don't want to be rude and cut you off. Just let you know I got the news coming your way.
I want to ask you one question. What's the purpose of the overtime law? Time and a half after 40. Do you know?
That was from when I know it goes back to when the minds of people were being worked to death.
No, it's got nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
No. Purpose of the overtime law is to spread employment. It's a penalty to the employer.
Okay.
The employer will not pay it and say, I'm cutting everybody off at 40, which hopefully will force him to hire other people. So
that's the kind of micromanage I don't think governments do, because I know there were plenty of jobs I had. I would have loved to have worked 40. Now, hold on a second. I would have loved to have worked 45 or 50 hours, would have been happy to do it at my hourly rate, but I was told, no, we can't do that because then it costs too much. So you got to go at 40. And I know that it costs me money, but you got about 30 seconds to respond.
Okay. If you were to work 50 and he said no, he's got to cut you back to 40. Now, somebody's got to make up those hours, which means he's got to hire somebody else, which is the whole purpose of the overtime law.
But I want the money.
It was passed in 1938.
I want the money, though. I earn the hours. I want them. Why should government step in and micromanage a business to say, no, I want you to do this, but maybe he...
But would we rather have you working 50 or you working 40 and then hire somebody else?
Which of those two, the
government, and which is better for the country?
Okay, so I've got to get to the news.
I just appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
No, God, it's a great discussion. I just don't want to be thinking I'm hanging up. The reality is that that's not the role of government. It's not the role of government to centrally run businesses like that. The reason that I would have gotten those hours is because I was better than the others. I worked harder. I worked on my skills. So it's not the government's job to say, we're going to pass policies that limit this person and make you do something for somebody else. I wanted the money. I wanted the hours. I earned them. I wanted to invest. I wanted to do something. That's why I like freedom in the workplace. All right, lots of calls. Feel free to keep disagreeing with me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.